FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 2/7/19. Well, January behind us, great month for metals. Past couple of months, it's been blazing away. You listen to the show, you know that many of our cycle analysts had been calling for upswing in gold prices, fourth quarter and January, and it's come true. Hey, when it comes to metals, person that I listen to with bated breath and always pay attention to his opinions, I'm talking about David Morgan, themorganreport.com, also known as the Silver Guru. It's always great to have you on, David. And question, gold seems to be taking off. Silver is lagging. Obviously, we know from past history that gold often leads. Is there going to come a time, do you think, where silver is going to take the lead here?
Yes. A couple of things I just want to comment on, Kerry. First, we had a ceiling in gold basis, the spot month, the near month. And gold risk could not get through the $1,300 level. And I made a few comments for our premium, our paid people, and also at the VRIC conference. And we got to see each other barely. But I said, we are going to break through. It is going to go up through it, probably on the fourth try. And all those things did come true. And now we've been as high as the 1320 plus level basis. Again, the U.S. dollar in the spot month. Now we're falling off somewhat. I do believe that when this is normal market activity, whatever you can say in a manipulated market, and we're going to probably test the $1,300 level from the top side. In other words, not coming up through that level, which we just accomplished a few weeks ago, but from the top down, meaning that 1322-23 coming down to, is it going to be 13.00? No. It might be 1303, it might be 1302. It could be 1299.80 intraday that closes higher than that. But that's it. There is some consolidation. Is it ahead of itself? Not really, not fundamentally, not from true value or any of those measures. However, it is on a very short-term trading basis. And remember, these prices are set in the paper paradigm. These are futures markets that are dictated by algorithms that swap information back and forth. And that's the world we're in, so we may as well acknowledge it. Moving on, will silver take the lead? Yeah, normally, in a bull market, silver outperforms. It's come off the high ratio of about 85-1. It's dropped back some, showing it's starting to gain some strength against gold, but not significantly. I am looking for that to take place. When, David? I think this year. I think this year you could see the gold-silver ratio maybe into the 72 range or something like that. I don't know. What I do know is that I'm convinced. I mean, could be proven wrong. I have to eat my hat, but I'm convinced that we finally have started the next leg up in the precious metals.
And we've all eaten our hats before, for sure. So, latest Fed actions here. It seems that they're trying to pretend that they're going to be hawks while acting more dovishly. Are they going to be cutting rates again soon? Are we going to look at QE4?
That's a real tough one. I have a little bit different take, and some of the stuff that we've written in the Morgan Report, I've got help, it's a staff, and that's the consensus view. My view is slightly different. I think that's the case, that they're going to try to continue quantitative tightening. I think they are going to try to off this $600 billion in worthless debt that they bought during the financial crisis onto the market. Whether they succeed at that amount or not, I don't know. What I do know is I think they're going to continue to try to soften their balance sheet and get rid of some of this noxious, toxic waste. I do think that they could maybe increase again or twice. My caveat, Kerry, is that there's so little left, is I think it was somebody from one of the main gold organizations says there aren't markets, there's just manipulations, yeah. is pretty accurate. But it mm-hmm. does not mean that the, I think it's TF Metals, Craig sure. Hemke, yeah. and I hope I'm giving credit to the right people here, but that, you know, there is a mother nature of of markets. And the mother nature of markets is, as this amount of bond selling activity, not only from the Fed itself, but also from the nation states of China and Russia and others, want to sell U.S. treasuries in a massive amount, in like the 2.5 trillion range, then what is the market going to do? Well, normally when you sell a lot of something, you've got to discount the price. Well, when you discount the price, what happens? Interest rates go higher. So I'm not leaving that out of the equation. I'm watching it carefully. The market knows more than anybody. Believe me, it's one of my mantras. You know me.
Oh, sure.
I'll watch. And if interest rates start being dictated by the market rather than by the government or quasi-government, then I will certainly probably put out an alert to, you know, all our premium members and put out, you know, what it means, because it means a great deal. If we actually get to a point where, you know, these markets break free of the restrictions that are imposed on them by the trading algorithms and all the quants out there, and it could happen, then we really have to be not so nimble, although nimble could help, but aware, because those are big shifts in market psychology.
Yes, very large shifts. And it seems like the psychology of the gold market, its daily intraday behavior, has changed. I'll give you a perfect for instance, just happened today. And before I get into it, I should state what the prices are of gold and silver, since that's what we're talking about. As I said, the date is February 7th. It's 12:15 in the afternoon. Gold is up $4.10 to right around the $1,310 range. Silver is up 3 cents, 1566 it's trading at. So one of the things we would see during the long bear market in precious metals, when gold prices would turn down in the evening in the extended markets, the add-on markets, wherever that might be, I have no idea. It's probably China. When the price would turn down, generally the next day it would stay down and probably decline further. Last night, before I went to bed, price of gold was down $3.90. I woke up this morning and it was up about $3. So that behavior of these trends of gold just taking a hit and never rebounding and never doing a reversal, the number of upside reversals over the past 8 years been minimal. We're seeing them constantly throughout the day, throughout the trading cycle after hours. Have you noticed that?
Well, yes, I have. And there's been a lot of shifts over the last few years relative to how these paper markets are traded. One is the amount of open interest. I mean, the amount of open contracts that are on both gold and silver are, I won't say astronomically high, but substantially higher than they were a few years back. Plus, there seems to be more resistance on the trading fund side than there was in the past. Now, there's a lot of shifts going on. I mean, you know, both these markets, silver particularly, are so small relative to the financial scheme of things that anyone that had fairly deep pockets could certainly bring a lot of havoc to these paper paradigms if they chose to do so. And of course, that will beg the question, well, why don't they, David? And the answer is because no one wants to be responsible for disrupting a market as important as the silver market and be held accountable for it. So believe me, it wouldn't be worth the money made. It just wouldn't. You can take my word for it or not. But that's my extremely studied view, because it could happen literally any day, but it won't happen from a, let's yeah. say, establishment type of entity.
No.
Could happen from a rogue situation, but in a rogue situation, the CFTC itself has a lot of, let's say, circuit breakers in place where they make them cash settle. Correct. Or come in and say, hey, the requirements are you can only take 1,500 contracts. Mm-hmm. You get 7.5 million ounces of silver. Read the contract that you signed.
And the margin.
So if you want to take more than that, you can't. So yeah. There's lots of reasons why this idea that another Buffett could come in, it can't. That rule got changed after Buffett came in. Yeah. By the way, on that topic, just to prove how small these markets are, is when Buffett did buy 130 million ounces of the world's silver supply, which is about 20% of the entire above ground supply in the world, when he reported his annual statement after that purchase, the word silver didn't appear in the Berkshire Hathaway annual report. It was listed as a miscellaneous purchase.
Immaterial.
And why can you get away with that? Because by law in the financial world, as long as it represents less than 2% of your holdings, you don't have to basically acknowledge it. You just have to put down a number. And that's what they did.
It's immaterial.
So it was less than 2% of Berkshire's holdings. It meant nothing, yet it was 20% of the world's above ground silver supply. So I could go on and on. There's a special report I wrote about.
I remember.
For our premium members, you know, if you're a premium member, if you're really interested in markets, you know, you got to learn how to trade them, how to invest in them, time them, and all the stuff that we do. And believe me, we do a lot more than just the silver market. We do a lot of across the board. But silver's still a passion, as you can tell my voice.
Of course.
And there's a lot to it that most people basically think or presume or assume that they understand when they really don't. And I'm not trying to be better than anybody else. My paid people know it. The people out there that aren't, they can be whoever they want to be, say whatever they want to say, and do whatever they want to do, because it doesn't really affect our core work.
Yeah. Hey, so it's a question of you don't step on Superman's cape, as Jim Croce said. That's why nobody is going to go out there and blow that market out. And, you know, it's just funny because you look at this. It's like Mark Twain said, it's not the things that you don't know that get you into trouble. It's the things that you think you know and are wrong that get you into trouble. I encountered that in 2011. I thought the global economic system was going to roll over and die. And I think many of you out there did. I was 100% wrong. Got a question here from somebody. It was a silver question, so I've held on to it for you. It's from Frank of Miramar, Florida, which is about 75 miles away from me. Anyway, his question, and I'll try to clarify it. Do you think the price of silver will be suppressed when the gold-backed global reset happens because of silver being an important industrial metal? So I think that's kind of clear. It's like, if there's a global reset, gold-backed global reset, which I'm not convinced is going to happen, but let's assume that it's going to happen, will they still suppress silver because it's so important from an industrial standpoint?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
If you're like me, there are so many great business books out there that you want to read or that your friends tell you to read, and you just don't have the time to do it. But now there's an app that I highly recommend, and it will solve this problem for you once and for all. It's called Blinkist, and it has all the famous titles from authors like Gary Vaynerchuk, Tim Ferriss, or Seth Godin. Did you know that Blinkist is the only app that takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands upon thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them all down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to? Blinkist is made for busy people like you and I. People who want to get the main points of the books quickly without having to read the entire thing. Blinkist has an audio feature that makes it a breeze to finish 4 books a day while you're on the go. Over 8 million people are using Blinkist at this very moment, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, history books, you name it, Blinkist has it. Look, I like Blinkist because when I'm on the go, when I'm working out at the gym or driving, I can read books like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, and my personal favorite, The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. You got to go to Blinkist. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for you. Go over to Blinkist.com/FSN to start your free 7-day trial. That's right, Blinkist, Blinkist.com/FSN to start your free 7-day trial. Blinkist.com/FSN. Get started now.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Thank you, Frank, for the question. And yeah, you're very clear, Kerry. And it does make a presupposition, which I'll go along with, not necessarily that I agree with it, but that's the question. Yes, the reason that the Silver Users Association exists is basically a consortium of the primary silver users. Well, who are the silver users? Well, silver users are the industrial wave. Is every industrial user a member? Excuse me, is every industry that uses silver part of the Silver Users Association? The answer is no. But if you look at who are the members of the Silver Users Association, you will determine that most of your big conglomerates, like Dow Chemical, for example, that use silver in so many ways, some of the other large consumers of silver that use for industrial purposes. So their main thrust is to, you know, if you read what they say and then you read between the lines, what you'll determine is that, you know, they're to an advocacy group to, you know, help promote the silver market, blah, blah, something along those lines.
Watch out.
but the bottom line is they want to keep silver at a low price for industrial use. So that wouldn't go away. But the real more important part of the question is that, as we talked about earlier, Frank, if you listen to the whole show, is that Mother Nature, there's a Mother Nature of financial markets, which means that the physical demand can get away from whatever methodology is used, be it a, you know, an algorithm, be it rules on the exchange, be it whatever. Because if a hard demand comes in for hard metal, it doesn't matter. It's going to get away from them. What's so ridiculous, really, is I digress, but I think it's important for everyone to know, is that for almost all industrial uses of silver, it is almost a non-event relative to the overall price of the manufactured good. So let me use an example everyone knows, like solar panels. Well, everyone knows that solar panels use silver, and most people think that, you know, the price of a solar panel is directly correlated to the price of silver, and it's not.
Wrong.
The amount of silver that's in a panel is so small cost-wise relative to the overall cost of that panel, transportation, the silica, the glass, the frame, all the labor, everything else can go into it. So silver could go to 100 an ounce or 200 an ounce, and it wouldn't affect the cost of that solar panel very much at all. Why? Because, again, it's such a small percentage of the overall manufacturing cost. And that's true for computers, that's true for iPhones or cell phones, that's true for DVDs, big screen TVs, all these things that absolutely must, and I say must, have silver. They're really not that directly correlated to the price of silver. Again, if you can understand this, because it's such a small fraction of what's in a big screen TV or a solar panel or a cell phone or any of these other things. Not to say that recycling smartphones isn't a good idea. It is. Yes. But the reason it's such a good idea to recycle a smartphone isn't for the silver, it's for the gold. Mm-hmm. Of course, silver comes along with it. So hopefully I made that clear. So the bottom line is this. We don't need a Silver Users Association. And if they really analyze their own products, they would, they wouldn't really care. Now, this isn't true for silverware, which is like all silver or close to it, 92.5% sterling, or for silver jewelry. I get that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the 60% of the silver market that goes into these minuscule applications that must be there that are a very small fraction of the total cost of the end product. I mean, think about a refrigerator. It probably uses less than a tenth of an ounce of silver, but yeah, it costs thousands of dollars, you know, $1,100, $1,500, depends on what brand you get and what it is, you know.
Bells and whistles.
So if silver skyrockets to $100, you know, that tenth of an ounce now goes from $1 to $10. You think that's going to affect a $1,500 refrigerator?
Yeah.
Not very much. They might use it as an excuse. because the public is so dumbed down relative to what the amount of silver is in the product.
Yeah.
But no, it has very little effect.
I love it. Yeah, you're so spot on, David. And if the prices ever do get correlated to silver, then we got a lot bigger problems than what the price of silver is, because if it becomes a meaningful component cost-wise into all these electronic goods, whether it's flat screens or you name it, if it becomes that important, then that means the economy is really doing something that nobody is prepared for. Don't worry about the price of silver. So one more question, because it's related to the last one, and also from another Frank, although he didn't say where he was from. So what he says is, every time I listen to these precious metals pundits, they say that gold and silver are insurance policies and won't make you rich. And he says, how is it that if I can buy any other undervalued asset and I sell it when it becomes overvalued, I can increase my wealth, in parens, get rich? Are gold and silver undervalued? Isn't the price of silver inflation adjusted dirt cheap? But if I buy silver or gold, it's only an insurance policy and it will only preserve my wealth and I won't get rich. So I think the question is there. If they're undervalued right now, which you could argue about, nobody really knows. We have our suspicions. But if they're undervalued, doesn't that make them a good buy and mean that when the time comes and they become overvalued, if you bought them when they're undervalued, you can turn a profit?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm probably guilty of, talking out of both sides of my mouth. I don't mean to, but there's a lot in that question, and it's a really good one. So thank you, Frank. So number one is, for most people, most purposes, having what is called a hedge, or if you want to call it insurance position in the precious metals, is extremely necessary and prudent during certain times in financial history, this being one of them. In fact, this being probably the most important one in all of known history. So let's say 10%, which is advocated by most of us, and you buy it at, let's say you buy your gold at $1,600 an ounce several years ago, and now it's at, you know, making it over $13, and you're not real happy. But it's a hedge, and it's only 10%. So if gold does what it does do during a financial crisis, that 10% will not only protect your wealth, but could help build wealth. Here's the example. 1980s bull market, which started in the 70s. Gold was actually at 35. That's what everyone tells you. It was really at 42, 22. I'm a stickler for detail on some things, but let's just use the 35. So gold went from 35 up to 850. So if I use the 40, that's like a 20-fold increase. So if 10% of your portfolio went up 20-fold, that's a doubling in your asset base. And that presumes that everything else that's in your portfolio, all your stocks, all your bonds, all your real estate, all your limited partnerships, all your business deals, all your loans, everything else goes to zero, and you still doubled your money. So that's what we call the insurance or the hedge position. It makes certain that in the worst case scenario, which did take place momentarily in 1980, and proves the point that that small amount of allocation will definitely protect everything else. And in that case, protected by a factor of two. Not only did it protect everything, and that again assumes the worst case for everything else. And of course, you know, real estate might have gone down, stocks might have gone down, bonds might have gone down, but they probably didn't go to zero. Now, I used to use a statement that gold will protect your wealth, but silver will make you wealthy. And I still believe that, but it isn't, you know, it's a timing thing, and it always is. So silver is gold on steroids, and it really is both directions. Let me repeat that, both directions. So when gold is going up a factor of five, silver might go up a factor of 15. But when gold goes down five, silver might go down by a factor of 15. So you got to be careful. You don't want to overallocate. In fact, really the best precious metals investors have both gold and silver for different reasons. They act differently, obviously. Mm-hmm. So that can, in an acceleration mode, certainly change your lifestyle. There's been many people that followed me in on the last trade I made in a big way when silver broke the $19 channel formation to the upside, and I went long, and I got out at 48. I mean, do the math on just one contract. I mean, one futures trade can make up for about 10,000 mistakes you've made in the stock market, not advocating anyone trade.
I got a lot to make up for, David.
But, you know, that's the idea. So if you really want to make money, quote unquote, whatever money is by definition, you want the underlying mining equities, because those are the ones that will really, really leverage you, if and only if you choose the right ones. If you just choose the HUI, the XAU, or even the GDX, you're probably going to do a little bit better than the metal itself, but it isn't worth the added risk. If you choose wisely and you know what you're doing, which is, of course, what we, you know, get paid to do, then you will find you're in a situation where some of these things go, you know, at a huge multiple of what the price is. For example, in 2016, you know, silver made a very nice move. We recaptured like 300 of our paid subscribers that year. I was really, really happy and pretty convinced that, you know, we were on our way. Turned out to be early. We still have that bottom. I mean, the bottom is still December 2015, but it's been a lackluster 2017 and 18, as we all know. Point being is that we had a trade on First Majestic, and that was about a 10-bagger. And silver didn't get anything close to a 10-bagger. And AG is the symbolic, you know, the periodic symbol for silver. It also happens to be the ticker symbol for First Majestic. And we traded that perfect. So, you know, if you were with the Morgan Report and made that trade along with me, I mean, you made a 10-bagger in a, you know, good year. But it wasn't a phenomenal year. It wasn't anything like what happened, you know, basically the bull market. I mean, if you want to digress, and I will momentarily, I mean, there were a few years where the best thing you could be invested in is the silver market. And believe me, I got a lot of, you know, pats on the back, hedge fund managers, you know, wanting to buy me stuff. And, you know, I refused, of course. But, you know, the kind of stuff that happens when you're holding a hot hand. And I never let it go to my head, because I've been in the silver market way too long and I've been humbled by the market way too many times. I was happy. I was, you know, but I knew it wouldn't last forever. When I called the top in 2011, a lot of people left the Morgan Report. It's like, well, all he does is silver, which I do a lot more than that. But let's face it, you call the top and you're well noted. And I can't tell you how many cards and letters and emails I got from people that were over leveraged that got out on my call, that are extremely happy with me. So for all the naysayers and blah, blah, you know, you have really two choices. One is, keep your hedge position and forget about it. Just forget about it. If you need it, it's going to work. The other one is, if you want to be aggressive and make a lot of money in the market, then you've got to be consistent. You got to know what you're doing. You probably need some help. Doesn't have to be me, but there's a way to do it. But if you are taking a hedge position and expecting it to work the way that I just outlined with these aggressive moves in the market, timing and everything else, then you are delusional. You are facing a fact of looking yourself in the mirror and not knowing who the hell you are, because you either are in a hedge position and you're going to sleep at night and forget about it. But if you expect it to do both things, you basically don't understand the mechanics of how markets work and why, more importantly, why you are in that market. So if you are in that market to make money, that's one thing. If you are in that market to be hedged, that's another thing. But they can't be both at the same time, unless you're so, let's say, fit that you understand both sides of the equation, which very, 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 very few people do.
I gotcha. Yeah, makes total sense. And so I think it gives you a good perspective on what metal investing is all about and how it can help you. I'm waiting for that next First Majestic, and I'm sure you've got a few companies that could qualify in the Morgan Report. So if you're not getting the Morgan Report now, I would suggest that you go and take a look at it. It's must reading. I do. I read it as much as I possibly can. And it's been extremely helpful over the years. Anyway, so go over to themorganreport.com and you can sign up. And David, been a total pleasure having you on as always. If you're watching this on YouTube or you're listening through the regular podcast channels, please subscribe, like, and share. Really helps me a lot when you do that. Helps get the message out. We're entering the new economy, and I don't know how many of you realize it. for the past 10 years, it's been the new economy. Now things are going to change again. You need to be prepared. That's our goal, is to help you be prepared for the new economy. David, as always, a pleasure. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Kerry, thanks for having me, and thanks for the questions. They're really good, and I probably ranted on that last one. It's very important, and I just want to add on that a little bit. I know I spoke a long time, but basically, if you're hedged, you're hedged. 10%, forget about it. If you're above 10%, now you're into the I want more out of this market than a hedge. So be honest with yourself. If you got your hedge, forget about it. Relax. If you are beyond that point, then if you think you're hedged, you're not. You have too much exposure to the market. So hopefully that clarifies it even further.
That's a great point. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. But make sure that the basket you put them into doesn't have any holes in it. The broader market, talk to Martin Armstrong, might go up another 15,000 points. Hey, I don't know how it's going to do it. I'm skeptical, but it could. On the other hand, it could drop 80% in the course of 30 days, and then where would you be? That's why you need a lot of baskets to hold the eggs, especially in uncertain times, because you never know which one's going to pay off. David, again, thanks for the clarification. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Great. Thank you, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.